Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Final hour here of Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio. I'm Tiki Barber, coming to you live from the Quicken Loans studio. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Appreciate all of your outreach, talking about Colin Kaepernick earlier in the show. Also about the decision, if you're head coach, where would you rather be? With Browns, the Baker Mayfield, the Packers with Aaron Rodgers? Lots of good calls on that one as well. We have Herman Moore coming up in about 15 or so minutes, one of the great wide receivers, obviously at the University of Virginia, our joint alma mater, but in Detroit as well with the Lions. We'll ask him about his thoughts on the current iteration of this Lions team and also the bowl game that they are hosting. They always host up in Detroit, and he's been a big part of for a lot of years. But there's two things I want to hit in this segment. One is about Markelle Fultz. The other one is about Kevin Durant throwing some serious shade, at least that's how people are positioning it, at LeBron James and how hard it is to play with LeBron James and why would anybody want to go there. But I think I need to, and others as well, issue an apology of sorts to Markelle Fultz. Now, we all know the saga. And not very many people saw him play in college because despite how good of a player and a shooter he was, his team in Washington was not very good. The Huskies, I think, won, what, 8 games or 9 games that season. They were bad in college. It still didn't prevent him with his sweet stroke and fantastic skill set from being the number one overall pick in the draft. And we saw what happened once he got to Philly. A lot of people said, hey, he had a shoulder injury, what they call it, a scapular degeneration or something like that, that was ailing him. And as a result, it had jacked up his shot. But to most people, it didn't make any sense. Like, what do you say? He's got a scapular issue. All he's got to do is work out, lift weights. He'll get his strength back. And so we speculated that it was all in his head. We just said over and over again, he's got this hitch in his shot. It was one of the worst hesitations that you'd ever see from a guy who used to be an elite scorer. And it's not like he got old and his body just wore down. He's 20 years old. And why do you have this hitch in your shot where you just can't push the ball away? He used to have this really high arching shot. It was a perfect stroke actually when he was in college. And then all of a sudden he's shooting from the chest and couldn't make any of the shots. Well, subsequently, his agent and his team, personal medical team, advised him to voluntarily sit out from practice and from games because he needed to get a second opinion. And they got a second opinion, and it turned out that the Philadelphia 76ers were misdiagnosing what Markelle Fultz had going on. Instead of having a scapular whatever the heck it was, he actually had a condition called neurogenic thoracic outlet syndrome. And you're like me, like, what the heck is that? What does that even mean? But upon reading it, it makes a ton of sense why Markelle Fultz's shot got jacked up. It had nothing to do with his mind. It had everything to do with his body physically being undercut. So a thoracic outlet is a little gap between your collarbone and your top rib, and a bunch of nerves and blood vessels go through that gap and obviously into the rest of your body. Now, what thoracic outlet syndrome is when that gap gets pinched. And we all know what happens when a nerve gets pinched or a blood vessel gets pinched. You get numbness. And we know it's in his nerves because it's neurogenic. Neurogenic meaning nerve. Neurogenic thoracic outlet syndrome means that gap is getting pinched and the nerves in Markelle Fultz's upper right shoulder area are getting pinched and numbed. And so you can imagine there's weakness there. There's not feeling of fingers. And so it kind of explains why his shot can never get right, because he doesn't know if he's actually shooting or he gets some weakness all at one point. And those hitches now make a lot of sense. So in some regards, we owe him an apology, but it also creates a lot of questions. Why the heck did it take so long for the 76ers doctors to diagnose this? And is there I don't know, what happens next? Is there surgery that has to take place? Is there do they void his contract? You know, what happens? Especially considering that there's reports out there that Markel Fultz got into a motorcycle accident and that's what caused this issue. There's so much drama going on with this, despite the clarity that the TOS diagnosis gives you. I just feel sorry now for Markel Fultz, because so much of what we were doing to him was unfair because we just didn't have an idea what was going on. And I don't know whose fault that is.
Yes, I mean, is it the doctors? Is it the trainers? Is it the Sixers? And now here's the thing: if this thing is treatable, and it's not like a mental,
yeah, it's not
psychological
a mental
disorder now. It's actually a physical, yes, neurological issue.
Yes,
and it's fixable. All these talks, like his Sixers career is done. He's out in Philadelphia. He's never going to play again.
2 weeks ago, I thought he was done.
Can this relationship be repaired? Or, like, at this point, do they still have to trade him? Because it's gotten so ugly there, and they've had so many negative things said about him and to him.
I agreed.
Like, do they still trade him? And now they get peanuts on the dollar. He ends up being the number one overall pick and, like, balling left and right, all-stars, Hall of Fame, who knows? I mean, this could get interesting.
It could get really interesting. That's why you bring it up. There's no answer right now. I don't even know what my emotion is, but I'm glad I know, because now I can stop treating this kid unfairly. Here's what I do know. Kevin Durant is keeping it real like you shouldn't keep it real. Maybe he can because they're not going to face the Lakers. Maybe they do face the Lakers in the postseason. But listen to what KD said. This is with our buddy Rick Bucher of Bleacher Report. He used to work with BT when they were out in San Francisco together. Quote, this is Kevin Durant talking about LeBron James. So much hype comes from being around LeBron from other people. He has so many fanboys in the media. Wow. Even the beat writers just fawn over him. I'm like, we're playing basketball here. And it's not even about basketball at certain points. So I get why anyone wouldn't want to be in that environment, because it's toxic, especially when the attention is BS attention, fluff. It's not LeBron's fault at all. He throws that little pillow in there so his head doesn't hit the ground too hard. It's just the fact you have so many groupies in the media that love to hang on his every word. Just get out of the way and let's play basketball. There's a couple of things to pull down from this. One, he's trying to explain, I think, why it's so hard for other stars to go play with LeBron James. And he brings up a couple of really good examples. One is Kevin Love. Kevin Love had to completely change his game to play with LeBron James. He became a spot-up shooter. Ultimately, he played center last year. I mean, it was ill-advised at the end of the day. But still, Kevin Love was completely different in Cleveland than he was in Minnesota, but he changed his game. And what KD is saying is not a lot of people are giving Kevin Love enough credit because he had to change his game so much, and they won a championship, even though he was hurt. Same thing can be said with Chris Bosh and others. I think his point makes a lot of sense, but I also think that so many people would gladly go change their game to play with one of the greatest players ever. So this comes off as shady, and KD taking a shot at LeBron James. But I think KD is wrong about the shot that he's taking. And it's almost like KD forgets what he went to do. Now, he didn't go play with the best player in basketball. He didn't go pick, you know, the GOAT, the current GOAT of our generation. But he did go play with the GOAT franchise of his generation, the Golden State Warriors. He went to a system that was infallible, that had nothing to do, had no semblance to what he played in OKC, which was, let me be ball dominant, Russ, you be ball dominant, together we'll be ball dominant together and figure out a way to win some games. Ultimately, we'll lose because we're ball dominant. You go to Golden State, it's all about unselfishness. It's all about, let's find the best shot for all of our great players. All of you guys can bring the ball up the court, even your big guys, at least your post guys, and all of you can shoot. Spread the wealth, and we're going to be successful. KD kind of did the same thing, which is a different philosophy that LeBron did. He went and joined a super team to win championships, and now he's calling out LeBron James because everybody loves LeBron James because he won championships. It's kind of a he's contradicting himself, but I get what he's saying. What do you got, Samter?
Well, here's the question. Like, outside of him joining his good friends, Dwayne Wade and Bosh in Miami, them joining together and kind of forming that super team, they last for 4 years.
Yeah.
Name one superstar, one, who has decided, chosen a LeBron James team over any other team. You can say maybe Ray Allen in Miami, but again, they had already kind of built that dynasty up, and Allen was like that last piece, and he was on the tail end of his career.
Yep.
Not a single superstar decided to join him in Cleveland the first time.
Necessary piece, by the way.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
But, like, no superstar wanted to play with him in Cleveland. He goes back to Cleveland. The only superstar that was there wanted to leave Cleveland. Now he's in the with
Kyrie.
The Lakers, and nobody wanted to go to the Lakers. He had to get Rajon Rondo and JaVale McGee.
Yeah, JaVale McGee, who's averaging 12 points a game
right now.
Something
to KD's point, though, just this idea that when you're with LeBron, if your team is playing well, it's because LeBron's carrying you on his shoulders. And when you're struggling, it's because he has no supporting cast. That's always been the narrative on every team LeBron has ever had. Always. It's LeBron is carrying you, or you're not good enough to let LeBron carry
you. Well, here's the thing.
It's a no-win situation.
It's a no-win situation, and KD can say this because KD is in the ideal situation. KD doesn't have to carry the team. And he actually said that. I was like, it's nice being here, not having to be the man, not having to make 30 shots a game just in order for us to be close. Right? You go to a team that already has the greatest shooter duo in the history of basketball, and they're only getting better. You have a hustler in Draymond. You have these role players that come off the bench, and they actually accelerate your team. They don't slow you down. And then you throw KD in the mix. It's easy for him. I almost feel like, even though he's stating the obvious, it's really hard to play with LeBron James because it's always about LeBron James. I think that if he could have done the same thing, meaning if he was LeBron James, if he had that level of I don't know, adulation, it's almost like he's jealous in a sense that he doesn't have the fanboys in the media. That he doesn't have, this aura that it's all about him. It's a weird dynamic. I don't know why he would comment on this, especially considering that they may play each other. I don't think he's trying to hate on LeBron. LeBron probably won't take it that way. But we can speculate about it. Is KD right? I don't think he is right. I don't think he's right about LeBron. I think people don't want to play with LeBron because it is all about LeBron. But I don't think LeBron James is... I don't know. He made this sound detrimental. To me, it wasn't. What LeBron has done is in no way detrimental to the game of basketball. And I actually hope it's good for Los Angeles. And despite our speculation at the beginning of the season that it would be a work in progress, the LA Lakers right now are 14-9. They play the San Antonio Spurs tonight, late game. It's at 10:30. And Kyle Kuzma has been a great contributor, young player. JaVale McGee, who's getting a lot of starts, and getting a lot of productivity from a guy who used to be clowned upon. I mean, this team, maybe because of LeBron James, is overachieving. That's the side that's conveniently forgot, KD. TK and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. On the other side of the break, we're going to talk to Herman Moore, former Detroit Lions wide receiver, get his thoughts on the Detroit Lions and their new head coach, Matt Patricia, and also about the bowl game that's always coming up to Detroit. TK and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Do you have frequent heartburn? Like the kind of heartburn where you stash antacids everywhere? You feel like you got to have those chalky tablets for whenever heartburn might strike. If that's you, you know there's an easier way to deal with heartburn. Prilosec OTC. Just one pill a day will last a full 24 hours with zero heartburn. With Prilosec OTC, you can actually just not get heartburn in the first place. No more stashing antacids. Try Prilosec OTC. One pill a day, 24 hours, zero heartburn. It's possible with Prilosec OTC. Use as directed for 14 days to treat frequent heartburn, not for immediate relief. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is brought to you by GEICO. Great news is a quick way you could save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Tiki Barber, 22 minutes after the hour here on CBS Sports Radio. Hopping on the line with my former Wahoo, fellow Wahoo, Herman Moore, former Detroit Lion. He's also representing Quick Lane Tire and Auto Center as the fifth anniversary of the Quick Lane Bowl hits us on December 26th. That'll be Georgia Tech in Minnesota. But Herman's talking about a bunch of things. Welcome, Herman. How you doing?
Very good. Wahoo wah.
Wahoo wah is right. I just saw you about a month ago. We're down at the Miami game, which was a good homecoming win for us. The ACC Class of 18 football legends you're getting inducted to. Congrats, man. Well deserved.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah. Thank you very much. It's we try and go out and represent our university well. So it was great being down in Charlotte and being amongst some other ACC guys and legends from their school, just showing how the conference has expanded and the waves that it's making on a national platform and a national stage. So it's good, man. It obviously changed since you and I were there, but it's good to see how the conference itself has continued to expand and produce some really good results.
Yeah, no, it has been. I mean, Miami and Florida State, those teams weren't there when you were there. Florida State was playing in the ACC, but they weren't around. But now it's expanded. They have two conferences now. We have a national champion in Clemson as well. But a team that's not quite competing for a national championship, Georgia Tech, is playing in the Quick Lane Bowl. Tell us a little bit about this game, because there's a lot of things surrounding this, including the support for veterans that you do every single year, and I commend you for it, and I commend Quick Lane for it as well. Trading one uniform for another, which now includes first responders. This is a great initiative you guys have going on.
It is, and you mentioned this is their fifth year being around. I know the program was introduced, I think, the following year, but the trading one uniform for another program has continued to expand. It's continued to make a difference by offering these $5,000-$10,000 scholarships to those men and women who are military vets, and then also this year, for the first time, opening it up for our first responders and giving them all the opportunity to nominate themselves versus the previous years, you had to be nominated by someone else. So it opens it up. It allows us to get more people competing for it, and there's been differences that have been made throughout with those. We have one success story with Casey Marvica. 10 years in the Army, got a mechanical engineering degree that they're going for at the University of Nebraska. Just close to being completed with that. That's part of this program, and utilizing the funds that came from that. So very excited and happy to continue that program, excited to be a part of and help promoting it, and then being able to come on with people like you and your stations to be able to give us an opportunity to let people know about the good things that are being done.
Yeah, no, that's outstanding, Herman. That really is. That's a success story that sometimes we don't talk about too often. Sometimes we want to hear the tragedies, or we get stuck in the tragedies as opposed to the great stories that come from our men and women who are now out of uniform. We're talking to Herman Moore, former Detroit Lion, representing the Quick Lane Tire and Auto Center with the bowl game coming up in just a few weeks here. But let's stick to your former squad, the Detroit Lions. I don't know if you've met Matt Patricia yet. We've seen what the team has been doing, not been doing. But what's your initial perception of the Detroit Lions under Patricia? And has the feel around the organization changed at all?
It's a little different. It's not unlike when you have a coach that's coming into a new organization. There's always a little bit of hesitation. There's a few people that sit on the sidelines. Even players, whether it's right or wrong, will sit back and have a wait-and-see attitude. With Coach Patricia, I've had an opportunity to meet him personally. I know he came in with great enthusiasm. He came in with high expectations. And like most coaches, you come in and you promise and you say that you're going to make a difference. You're looking forward to having winning seasons and all that good stuff. But at the end of the day, it comes down to the players. It comes down to you having the right coaching staff that are aligning these players into positions to win. And then you're extracting the talent that you've drafted and that you have a part of your roster. With them, it hasn't quite materialized that way. Players have gotten injured. They let go Golden Tate, who a lot of people were wondering about that move, which maybe signaled that the season was being thrown in. But I don't think that's the case with Coach Patricia. I know he wants to win. I think he's frustrated being a first-year coach, and you don't know what to do until you're there and you're faced with it. So he's going to look back and I'm sure say, hey, I made some choices that perhaps I wouldn't have done, whether it's in personnel or decisions. And then there's others he's going to look at and say he made the right move.
Yeah, you know, Harmon, do you think that, you know, a lot of these coaches that come from iconic trees, coaching trees, because obviously Matt Patricia comes from Bill Belichick, they often want to, they want to be like that guy. I remember, Coach Coughlin, he always felt like he was trying to be Bill Parcells part two or part three, actually, because obviously Bill Belichick was in between there. But it always felt like they were trying to take the personality. Does that work? And is it working in Detroit?
Well, it definitely isn't working if that was the goal. To try and emulate that or bring over certain components. I'm sure there's parts of that system that have been proven to produce results under Belichick that he's probably implementing. There's probably things he's done as a defensive coordinator in New England and now coming over being the head coach for the Detroit Lions that he thinks from a discipline standpoint is going to work. But the dynamics change from player to player, the culture of an organization. There's buy-in time, which you shouldn't have at the professional level, but it is. And then there's just you're working with different personnel at times that, you know, your scouting department to even some new coaches perhaps you bring in. So you're trying to get all this gelled and put together in one season. And some are able to get that done. Some aren't. You talk about that prestigious coaching tree and you're coming from the top of this chain that's won all these championships. That doesn't guarantee you anything. You still have to earn your way in the NFL. And we've seen less success, I think, more often than success when that has occurred.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. Herman Moore, former Detroit Lion, also with Quick Lane Tire and Auto Center and the Quick Lane Bowl, which is December 22nd or 26th, I should say, Georgia Tech and Minnesota. Let me ask you this question, Herman, because I remember the days of watching you, watching Barry Sanders, and just feel, man, there's just some excitement here. I know that maybe they're not going to win. Detroit's not going to win, but I can't wait to watch this team. How does that get back to Detroit? And when was the last time it was there? Because it feels like it's been a while.
It's been a while since you've had that type of consistency, not only in the backfield, but also on the perimeter with the passing attack and downfield. They've had a combination at times when you look at it, go back as early as Calvin Johnson and Matthew Stafford brought a lot of excitement in the passing attack, but they didn't have a running game.
Yeah.
Then you keep going back where they were absent passing and running, and then you go back even further, and it was just being torn apart, and it was an anemic team that was struggling to just have winning seasons. So when you look at what we had tremendous balance. You had some really good guys out catching the football. You had a dynamic and one of the best, if not the best, running back in the NFL all time in the backfield. And we were absent, really, consistency at the quarterback position. So we really never were able to take that next step.
Yeah.
It's not that we had the wrong guys all the time at quarterback. We just never gave any one guy longer than a season or two to really try and get things under their belt. Whereas you see now, guys can be there not really producing for 8-9 years under a system.
Yeah.
So it's going to take a lot, Tiki, I'll tell you, to get those guys back on course. It's going to start, though. They got to build up a better defense than where it is. There are some good things in the secondary players, but along the defensive line, there's a little sporadic play here and there.
Yeah.
And then the offensive line is supposed to be great. I think it still can be very good, but it didn't play up to par this year. And then get Kerryon Johnson in the backfield healthy. And
I like that kid. I really
runner.
Like him. He is a strong runner. LeGarrette Blount is good as his backup as well. Is Matt Stafford the guy, though? He's only 30 years old. He's not even 31 yet. He's been around 10 years. He does the requisite things. Puts up the numbers, the stats, et cetera. He's completing 67% of his passes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But is he that guy?
I think if you were ready to win right now, he is. I think Matthew Stafford with another team that's ready to win right now and has all the tools around him to get it done can – you know, potentially lead a team to a championship. Can he get it done with the current set of what's going on there and also given what's happening on the other side of the ball? Because you look at even Drew Brees with New Orleans.
Yeah.
Their defense isn't great, So they got to score a lot of points. This team doesn't score a lot of points, and their defense isn't great. So there's some pieces, and can that be done while Matthew Stafford is still in his prime? Right now, on the outside looking in, I don't see that right now happening.
Yeah.
But I think Matthew will continue to play, put up some good numbers. But the team itself is not ready, in my opinion, right now to be a championship team with just the holes that still need to be filled.
Yeah, I think you're right. Herman Moore, former Detroit Lion, former Wahoo, is one of the greats in UVA history. He was also a great track athlete, too, by the way.
Hey, you know, I always say this. I know we weren't there at the same time, but got to know you, got to watch you, and tremendous athlete as well. And I know that what goes into being that dual sport athlete,
yep,
and also being able to succeed at both levels. So
yep, you have
same to.
Same
to you.
I appreciate you, Herman. Quick Loan Tire and Auto Centers, Quick Lane Bowl, December 26th, Georgia Tech, Minnesota. If you're in the area, certainly check it out. And also, don't forget about the trading one uniform for another program. This is fantastic. These so many vets can, and now first responders can nominate themselves or nominate others for a $10,000 scholarship. As Herman detailed, there's already success stories out there. Herman, I appreciate you, man. I hope to see you again soon.
Always. I appreciate it. Thank you, Tiki.
Be good, brother. Herman Moore. Herman is like a legend down at UVA. Herman's the guy you walks in because he was a good basketball player, too. Track athlete. I think he had the high jump record for a long time. He used to do a charity basketball game down there that was very well attended. One of my favorite people on the planet is Herman Moore, and I appreciate him joining us. Can we get an update? Ackerman, please. It's time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question is from Dan Grassi at D. Grassi. Are the Sixers better off trading Fultz and allowing him to rebuild somewhere else? I think the Sixers, they might regret that. I'm going to say no. I think they got to hold on to Markelle Fultz. Even though and rebuild this relationship. J.J. Redick's only going to be the guy for so long. They're going to need somebody still so young. If he can get healthy and get back to how he was in college, he'll be outstanding. Don't forget, you can submit a question by going to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros or tweet us at CBS Sports Radio using the hashtag AskThePros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. Last segment here on Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio. I think BT is back tomorrow. Otherwise, I will be here as always. We're going to do the blast here. And let's look at these questions. There's a couple of them that I'm going to have to think about. I got to tell you, Sam, to be honest, I didn't even look at these until right now. So as you read them, I will be thinking of my answers.
Let's All right, Tiki, think long and hard, but not that long because you only have 60 seconds
think
to answer.
Quickly.
Number one, Emmanuel Sanders feared to have a torn Achilles.
That sucks.
Despite this, the Broncos have won 3 straight. Can they still make the postseason after losing Sanders?
God, they're 6-6 right now. They've put themselves back in contention. Cortland Sutton has really started to step up. I am so glad. It's playoff time in fantasy football, and I picked him up in both of my teams. Nobody had gotten him yet. This was before, obviously, we knew Emmanuel Sanders. But also, let's not forget, Demaryius Thomas is also gone. So there are two top receivers over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years are no longer there. It's very young players, including their young running back, Philip Lindsay, who's been amazing. So I'm going to say I don't think they can. I was going to say out of bounds, but not in bounds, out of bounds. I'm going to say no. I think this is a blow that they can't replace.
The Bills cut wide receiver Kelvin Benjamin. Also cut Andre Holmes, who was picked up earlier today. Benjamin has not. Is Benjamin still worth taking a flyer? Former first-round pick? 1,000-yard receiver.
God, I'm just looking at his stats over the course of his career. I mean, there's a couple of years there early in Carolina when he felt like he was going to be the man. 1,000 yards his rookie year. He almost got 1,000 his second year. But then he started getting some injuries and just ineffectiveness. And ultimately, he petered out. I think he is worth taking a flyer on, mainly because of how big he is. He's a tall receiver. He's 6'5". He's 245, 250. Now, he may not be an ideal burner, but he can be a good kind of slash, almost tight end in the red zone. but you got to utilize him the right way. So given that he's cleared waivers and he's cheap, I'd take a flyer on him. He's big.
So after Urban Meyer officially stepped down yesterday, two top 100 prospects decommitted from Ohio State. Now we just assume that the juggernaut's going to keep rolling, but does Day need to prove himself, or do you think the Buckeyes just going to keep on trucking?
This is a hard question. I mean, I think I
thank
like,
you.
I think good job, Samter. I think I like Ryan Day. I honestly have no idea if he's going to be a good coach. We talked about this yesterday. What was it? Rutgers, Oregon State, and TCU he coached against. But again, all of the prep had already been done. The decision on quarterback, who do you want? Dwayne Haskins obviously rose to the top, and he was the cream of the crop and then really all of college football. Kyler and Tua were better, but I don't know if Ryan Day can sustain this program because so much of this of being excellent on this level is perception. The perception is significantly changed at Ohio State. I don't know if it's going to happen just because it's Ohio State. So my answer is no, it's not going to happen. Ryan Day is going to have to find a way to be exceptional and recruit even better.
Everyone thought that Bryce Harper was gone in D.C., but now that the Nats signed Corbin, there's reports now that they're actually going to try and re-sign him and keep him there.
Yeah, but remember,
do you think he actually stays?
I just don't think they can give him the money. I mean, they gave Corbin a lot of money. 6-year deal.
I think there's a lot of money to be had in D.C. Yeah. I mean, it's not New York, it's not Boston, but it's a major market.
Yeah, but they already, I mean, Steven Strasburg, they're already paying. And you know what I mean? Scherzer, they're paying as well. It's a lot of money. And yeah, it puts you in a better position to win. You have three top-line starters. I mean, Patrick Corbin, who's been injured, had injuries over his course of his career, but he's really a good pitcher, is your third guy. I mean, it makes you feel like you can win. That's a lot of money. I don't know if the Nationals are willing to go over that far over the luxury tax because Bryce Harper is going to command stupid money. And if you're Bryce, I don't think there's loyalty to anything right now other than money. So does he stay? No.
I mean, I was waiting for like a deeper kind of, does he stay? No. Long breath, long thought, and just one word.
No.
No.
I don't think he does.
Okay.
Because I think he's going to get more money elsewhere.
Where do you think he's going to go?
I think he got so disrespected. I think he might go to Philly.
Yeah.
He got so disrespected by that initial offer. It was like a token offer that the Nationals gave.
It's so crazy that $300 million is a token disrespectful offer.
It's stupid.
You offer me $300 million.
What do you need me to do?
Seriously.
How often? And I'll do
listen,
it.
Who knows? Maybe he'll go to St. Louis to play alongside Paul Goldschmidt now with the Cardinals. Interesting. I'm telling you, we talked about this yesterday. That might be the most underrated player in baseball. I know you guys didn't fully agree,
well,
but
it's not
that guy
he's
is
underrated.
Such a beast.
He's just not talked about. We're not getting buzzed here because we have so much time because we actually got to it earlier.
No. You're not getting buzzed because I'm talking. I don't get buzzed.
Buzz him.
Yeah, I never get buzzed. I don't know what you're talking about. Anyway, number five, last one. This was interesting, I thought. Connecticut Senator Chris Murphy calls it, quote, immoral when he sees the salaries that college football coaches get paid while college players get nothing for sacrificing their brains and their bodies. What's your thought about this?
Immoral is the wrong word. I'd say it's capitalistic. It's not immoral. I think that athletes on the college level can't be paid the way that the coaches are. You see the list here if you're watching CBS Sports Network, Nick Saban, Dabo Sweeney. Nick Saban's making $11 million. Dabo's making $8.5 million. Calipari's making $7 million. Jim Harbaugh's making $7 million. Urban Meyer's making $6 million. Why is Calipari in there? I guess this is his highest paid college coaches, but their basketball players kind of get paid after a year anyway, so it doesn't matter. There needs to be a way to compensate athletes, college athletes, this is football and basketball, for their brands. I mean, I don't care what you're doing, if you're a magician or you're an author or you have a specialized skill that no one else, or at least not a lot of people, can replicate, and it's marketed to people, hundreds, thousands, maybe even hundreds of thousands of people, You should be compensated for that. But I don't think that it's immoral that coaches are paid so much because they help build the brands of these kids. That's a good question, though. I mean, there's a lot of, I mean.
And the question's not as much for me about whether college players should get paid, which I personally believe that there should be some sort of compensation.
Yeah, I don't think that's it. I don't think that's a question.
It's more about are coaches paid so much. Like, if Nick Saban was only making $4 million instead of $11 million, then maybe you can disperse some of that money from the NCAA around elsewhere to help these college players, to help some of the people who actually need the help. I mean, in the NFL, I get it. It's a multi-billion dollar industry of professionals, so if they're getting paid $8, $9 million, but for a guy to get paid $11 million to coach guys who are getting paid nothing, it really does feel a little bit...
Yeah, but here's the thing. I mean, I talk about the brands of the college athletes. The college coaches also have brands. Just think about the excitement, and even though he can't beat Ohio State, think about the excitement that Jim Harbaugh brought to Michigan when he was hired as their head coach. I don't know what their season ticket sales are like, what their box revenues look like or suite revenues look like pre and post Jim Harbaugh. I mean, I imagine for a place like Michigan, it probably didn't go down even though they were bad for a couple of those years. But when a coach like a Jim Harbaugh or an Urban Meyer or a Nick Saban come into a program, the excitement just jumps. I mean, it's crazy. And that excitement brings new sponsors. It brings new ticket sales. It brings successes when you get to, you know, bowl games or the NCAA tournament or whatever it may be. There's something there that needs to be compensated. Yeah, it's excessive, but I don't think it's immoral. Chris Murphy is putting on making a reach here in Connecticut. He's making a reach that's getting a headline, but I think he's a little bit off there. CBS's Super Bowl season continues Sunday with exciting regional action. Playoff and wild card position is up for grabs in critical AFC matchups when the Baltimore Ravens battle Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. Andrew Luck leads Indy into Houston to take on the Texans, and the Phillip Rivers-led Chargers host the Cincinnati Bengals. Check your local listings and kick off your day with the NFL Today only on CBS.
Got a quick question for you. You see the new head coach of the Los Angeles Sparks?
I did not.
So the Los Angeles WNBA team, the Sparks, just hired Derek Fisher as their head coach.
Really?
And a lot of people are starting to speculate they're connected to the Lakers a little bit, maybe some acrimony with Luke Walton and the Lakers. Is Derek Fisher destined to head and coach with LeBron and under Magic?
That is an interesting development.
It was very similar when Isaiah Thomas took over in the WNBA with the.
He couldn't get past. There's no way he could get past it in New York, meaning the perception in New York to actually have an interaction with the Knicks. Is there a joint ownership? If there is, I mean, watch out for that. We'll talk about that tomorrow, Sam. So let's put that on the docket to get on the rundown tomorrow. I'll do some research into it as well. It is the same ownership though, right? The Lakers or at least there's a connection.
Yeah, I know like the Knicks and the Liberty have like a sister kind of thing. So I think the Lakers and the Spark too.
Yeah. I thank you all for calling today, being involved. You had tons of calls about Colin Kaepernick, a ton of calls also about Baker Mayfield and Aaron Rodgers and which job would be better for coaches. Today is an interesting day. In the history of our country, it is a national day of mourning. President Trump has designated December 5th as a national day of mourning as President Bush was laid to rest today. And I appreciate you guys being with me today because today is a mourning day for me as well. We lost our Ruby King Charles Cavalier, Charlotte, who was 10 years old. She passed away this morning. It was a very sad day, and it's been hard to focus, but you guys have been amazing talking sports with me and helping me not think about it. We'll be back tomorrow. We appreciate all you guys do for us, and I hope you appreciate what we do for you all. Be blessed. Take care, everyone.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.